welcome to the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. I'm your host, James Renford Powell, author of The Laws of Material Wealth and the Renford Books. The Laws of Material Wealth is a book, a workbook, four DVDs, 54 weeks of support material, and 54 shows here on Radio by Renford. So you can go to blogtalkradio.com, that's www.blogtalk, blogtalkradio.com/Renford. You can go into the archives and you can go all the way back and find week 1, week 2, week 3, week 4, all the way to week 54. And this is all part of the most comprehensive personal development program out there, bar none. So you're welcome to check us out and also... to check out the Renford Revelations blogs. Now, every Wednesday night I give you a new blog, and then that goes to www.iam-cor.org. That's iam-cor.org, and that's the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics. If you want to read the blogs or make comment, you go to iam-cor.org/blog. And that /blog takes you to all of the blogs that I have read here on the air on these shows. If you've got anybody who would like to listen to the show, but they are not online, they don't have a computer, can't go to the RBR network, then they can listen by calling 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. If you would like to ask a question of my guest, and my guest this evening is Pastor Stephen Sain, if you would like to ask a question of him or of me, be sure and press the 1 button on your touch-tone dial, and that will flag me to bring you in for your questions. So you call 347-838-9142 and press the 1 button, and you can come in and ask Pastor Sain or myself any question that you like. And we will get now to the Renford Revelation blog for this evening. And as soon as I finish this, we'll go directly to Pastor Sain, and I'll give you a little bit more information about him. The question in this blog is, why put so much emphasis on the universal laws? Now, all the way through this course, we've been talking about, with the laws of material wealth, we've been talking about the 13 universal principles, the principles that you can find in the teachings of all the great masters. Remember, Jesus in Matthew 13:35 said, "I came to reveal the secrets that have lain hidden from the foundation of the earth." And in the same verse, he says, or it says, "And he spake to them in parables, and without parables spake he not." So the secrets that have lain hidden from the foundation of the earth are being revealed in these parables that we treat like children's Sunday school pablum and don't give them a whole lot of attention. But within them are these 13 universal laws and principles. So that alone will tell you why I think it's important to put so much emphasis on the universal laws. But here we go with the Renford Revelation for this evening. "In many of my books, I have referred to the universal laws as the basis of the study. This is because the universal laws are the basis of any study of self. How can one identify these laws to the point of making application of the 13 universal principles of success unless he can internalize them, recognize them in our life experiences? These principles are an application of the universal laws to a level we can relate to. I have come to understand these principles to be the basis of the first field of knowledge, which is awareness of self. Without understanding of the first field, there is little chance of understanding the second field, which is the knowledge of others, or the third field, the knowledge of how others see you. And finally, the fourth field, knowledge of the manifested world about us, is the only one most people recognize as scientific or provable. We can advance to a great length in science and technology, but without understanding the first field, the fourth field could destroy us. So the study of the universal laws and the process of identifying and verifying them in our life experience is the most important study we could possibly undertake. Since all evidence from the masters indicates the eternal nature of infinite being, We cannot really talk about a beginning for this creative force we call God, or even for human beings who come from God, cannot be separated from God and return to God in an eternal cycle. We can find scripture that tries to describe a point in time before time began, as in the case of Proverbs 8:22. The writer tells us the universal laws, the rules of the game of life, had to exist first. Without the universal laws, there could have been no game of life. The rules are the divine self-expression. They had to exist before there was matter or life of any kind except the eternal life of universal being. They are, in fact, aspects of God. We can understand to some degree by understanding our own life experiences. With this in mind, let us read this passage from Proverbs 8:22. The Lord begot me, the firstborn of his ways, the forerunner of his prodigies of long ago. From of old I was poured forth, at the first, before the earth. When there were no depths, I was brought forth. When there were no fountains or springs of water. Before the mountains were settled into place, before the hills, I was brought forth. While as yet the earth and the fields were not made, nor the forest clouds of the world. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he marked out the vault over the face of the deep. When he made firm the skies above. When he fixed fast the foundations of the earth. When he set for the sea its limits, so that the water should not transgress his command, then was I beside him as his craftsman, and I was his delight day by day, playing before him all the while, playing on the surface of the earth, and I found delight in the sons of men. Fundamentalist Christians are quick to say this was talking about Jesus, and I maintain that every time Jesus told a story, answered a question, or took any kind of action, he was illustrating and explaining the universal laws. I see correspondence between this verse and the following verse, John 1:1-5. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came to be through him, and without him nothing came to be. What came to be through him was the life, and this life was the light of the human race. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. If the Word became flesh, what would you expect the Word, universal laws, to talk about but aspects of God, the divine self-expression? Asking why one should put so much emphasis on the universal laws is like asking why pay any attention to the law of gravity. You can be sure that if you do not pay attention to gravity, it will mean dire consequences for your survival. A law that is permanently in place and unchangeable is a universal law. You might ask, why do I have to refrain from breaking the laws of man? Why can I not kill as I please? You can, but you can expect to draw a large force who will attempt to arrest or kill you, and when arrested, the punishment may involve your own death. Still, the laws of man are changeable. What might be acceptable in one country may not be in the next. Even the laws of gravity, used as an example of something approaching a universal law, will be different on other planets. The universal laws are aspects of God and are invariant. That means they never change. All right. How can we fathom this creative force that we call God by looking out into space? Where do we look? We see this power around us, but how can we possibly understand or explain God when we can't even explain good, truth, and beauty without attaching to it something we can understand? In other words, we can say, he is a good man, or she is a beautiful woman, or maybe this is a true statement. But we have to attach it to something. We must bring these abstracts into our dimension, our level of understanding. How can we possibly understand or explain the creative force without realizing it in our own life experiences? If we can identify and verify the universal laws in our life experiences, we can begin to understand who and what we are. If we can do that, we can begin to understand the nature of this force we call God. To become aware of the universal laws, as well as identify and verify them in our own life experiences, is to come into a state of knowing which brings harmony. When one is in harmony with the laws, there are no obstacles to our purpose and objectives in this life. The need for emphasis on the universal laws is therefore to gain understanding of ourselves, and through this process gain rudimentary understanding of the laws of life. This is necessary for us to have any meaningful concept of life or God. And that is my Renford revelation for this evening. Now, my guest is Pastor Stephen Sain, and Pastor Sane is the uncle of a former Memphis Tigers player, Pierre Henderson, and he's the man that has accused John Calipari of agreeing to pay for play arrangements to get Henderson Niles to the University of Memphis. Pastor Sane's has gone from being behind bars in prison pulpit at Higher Heights Christian Church, and we'll be getting the story straight from Pastor Sane. And I want to welcome you to the show, Pastor Sane.
Thank you, sir. It's my pleasure.
It's always interesting to me. I've had a young man on the show who wrote his book, his first book, in prison. He wrote it at 201 Poplar, Frederick Williams. It's called Riding the Chrome. I'll give him a little advertising boost there. It's called Riding the Chrome. And he said to me that the guys in prison couldn't wait for his next chapter. They would bug him all the time, wanting to know when he was going to have the next chapter ready.
And wow.
He's done pretty well with that book. How did you come to write your book? I think you have one out as well.
Well, it started years ago. '98. I was released from prison back in '95, but God had given me a vision to write a book, and it was basically just to let young men know, black, white, Hispanic, no matter what the race, just to let them know that there was a better way for us to do things other than the way we was doing them, selling drugs, chasing women, looking for the cars, the crib, the clothes, the cash, the commodities, the Caribbean cruises, and all of that stuff. And he was just letting me know that I needed to let the world know that he was a better way for us if we just trusted in him. And he put embedded the scripture in me, Matthew 6:33, where he says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven and its righteousness, and all other things shall be added." So he gave me that vision to write the book. And I never finished the book. I would pick it up, put it down, pick it up, put it down, but I never got finished with it. And I couldn't understand why. And it only would come to fruition after I got custody of my nephew, Pierre Niles, and we got to dealing with Calipari and all of those things. So it only came to fruition then why he wanted me to wait. I had some more chapters to go in my life, I guess.
Yeah, the story wasn't finished.
Sir,
the,
no, it wasn't.
Now, you've been a minute pastor of the Higher Heights Christian Church. How long have you been there?
Going on nine years.
And then the book is, and you've just now published the book, right? I mean, it just came out this year.
Yeah, it just came out, what was it, March the 25th. It hadn't been out about 4 to 5 days, something like that, but it's doing well it's doing well according to the publishing company. I've yet to get any official reports, but according to the public company, it's been doing good in spite of them trying to suppress the truth and trying to deny me what I know and trying to keep me from publishing the book. But it finally came out, and so even with my nephew, they turned him against me and got him to go against me. So I guess they said by him saying that it didn't happen, that I didn't get paid, that makes me a liar. So oh, well, God got a way of taking foolish things to confound the wise.
So your nephew was living with you.
Yes,
and then when he reached college age, this is when the story starts in the book.
Yes, sir. This is when it picks up in the book. But like I said, the book was basically all about me and my life and where I had come from and where I was headed to. And I just, basically put that in the book, And it was God wanting me to put it in there because, anything done in the dark has to come to the light. And the way Calipari was using the young men and lying to them and, selling them dreams and messing over them and their careers. And, so I just, my nephew was tied up and he was crying when he got to the University of Memphis. The Calipari didn't do the things he promised him he was going to do. I sat there with him at the table as he signed his paper, and he promised him some things that never came to fruition. fruition. And so, you know, me being old and him being younger and me being responsible for him, I had to write about it to let other parents know as well what's going on with these college coaches and things that they promise the kids and the parents, and then they don't come to fruition, you know, after they get them there. They turn them against you as well.
Yeah. Let's go back just a little bit. What turned you around? I mean, what happened to you that was there a blinding light or a particular individual that got you to get your head straight?
Well, I will say that it was a few things that happened, but the one thing that really got my attention, you know, sometimes when you hear stuff in threes, you know, that's a confirmation, you know. And I kept hearing for the longest, even before I went to prison and after I had got out of prison, but folks saying, you know, God is calling, you got a calling on your life, God is calling you to preach. And I'm like, who? Not me. I don't want to do no preaching. Who am I to preach to anybody? But I got to prison, and I was facing 12 years, and they told me that I couldn't get out on that sentence. I had to at least do 8 on the 12 before I even got out on parole. But I prayed day and night and talked to God, and he released me after a year, probably a year and a half of prison. I had to go to boot camp for 3 months, but hey, that was a way of him, you know, releasing me through boot camp after folks said I couldn't get out. So that was one incident. And then after I got out, I still didn't accept my calling. I backslid. You know how we do. We promise God things like, you know, I'm going to do right when I get out and you help me, so I'm going to change my life around. But when I got out, I was in a major car wreck and jumped out the car with no scratch on me, not even a headache, and no broken bones. So that was another incident where God was telling me, you know, I can get you if I want you, and you got to remember the promise you made to me. So he got a way of getting our attention through circumstances, situation, or sometimes through people, you know, and that's what he did with me.
I want to remind listeners that if you would like to ask Pastor Saint a question, you can dial, if you can dial 347-838-9142. And when it comes into the RBR network or through Blog Talk there, press the 1 button on your touchtone dial, and I'll bring you in for your question. And in fact, I think we have a questioner right now. Let me see. Hello, caller. Do you have a question for Pastor Sang? Hello, caller. Do you have a question for Pastor Sang? Okay, I guess not. I thought we had a call there. There's people on the line, but I guess there's that they don't have a question. So it wasn't until after you got out of prison and then sometime later before you feel like you were called.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. That's exactly how it went. As I stated earlier, you know, I had been hearing people say that, you know, I had a calling on my life, but, you know, I wouldn't own up to that. And, I've been doing it a while now, and it's still hard to believe. Sometimes I still have to come to grips with who I am and what God has called me to do and be. So you never totally get used to it.
Where is the Higher Heights Christian Church?
It's out in the Fraser area, out in Memphis, Tennessee. It's 1946 Whitney Avenue, out in the Fraser community. Like I said, we've been there now some time working that community and trying to save. So the Lord is blessing us to where we're baptizing almost for the last 3 months now. I believe we've been baptizing every Sunday, 5 souls here, 10 souls there. So the Lord is blessing us. We're doing work, and, you know, sometimes it comes at a snail pace, but we are working and we are doing what he called us to do. So we're just grateful that he gave us the opportunity to do ministry, you know.
What size congregation is this?
Excuse me?
What size? How big a church is that?
It's about We see right at 75, 75 to 80. That's a good Sunday. I mean, a bad Sunday, we may see 40, 50 folks, you know. So, like I said, we still growing, and it's still a baby ministry. But like I said, we just thankful to God to be able to do ministry.
Okay, we got some callers for you, Pastor Sane. Hold on just a minute.
Mm-hmm.
You have a call? You have a question for Pastor Sane, caller?
Yes, I do. Hi, Pastor Sane. How are you?
I'm doing fine.
Okay, my question is, what took so long for you to come out with your story? I understand you were waiting for the right moment, but why now? Why should we believe the story now? It's a lot. Cal is a big, important man, and you're just a peon in this world. So why should we trust what you have to say as opposed to, you know, anybody else?
Well, I will say this. I understand who he is, and that's more of a reason for me not to lie and play no game and falsely accuse no one. But it ain't that it took me so long to come out with the story. Any time is a good time to tell the truth. But basically, Pierre was still at the University of Memphis, and I didn't want to hurt him when he was while Kyle was still there and he was trying to graduate. I didn't want to come out earlier. Him and I had talked about this, Pierre and I, and he was on board to help come out with the story. I even had to set up for him to talk to the local news station here, and they can verify this. But all of a sudden, he just changed his mind, and we know why he changed his mind. I mean, you know, I don't have no concrete evidence, but we believe somebody got to him and told him to keep his mouth shut. But it's all good because I do know that, hey, I don't fear no man or what man can do to me. The truth is what it is. They try to suppress the truth with Jesus Christ, but it still came out. That's the reason we're where we're at today. So, you know, I understand he is who he is, but that don't mean he can't be touched or the light can't be shed on the things that he are doing. And I understand, you know, that, hey, I may not be nothing in his eyesight or other eyesight, but I am somebody in the eyesight of God. And that somebody is one who's willing to stand on the truth and try to correct some wrong. The wrong I've done, I was wrong when I took the money. But if you in the situation I'm in, all I know all my life was to get my money through selling drugs, but the Lord changed me from that. But when he came along, hey, it's in my book. He promised to help me another way, to get a job, to come out the world. And he did do some things, but it was just the other lies and the games he played afterward. And this really ain't about the money or none of that or Pierre going to the NBA or not. This is about you don't turn family against one another. Another because one is telling another family member what's right and that, hey, this man really don't have your best interest at heart. So that's the reason I came out with it. And like I said, it's bigger than me and Pierre. This thing is to let other parents know. It's to let other players know. It's to let the world know, hey, that God can do whatever we want him to do, whatever our heart desire, and we just trust in him. So that's where I'm at in my life. It's bigger than them. This is not just about me. It's bigger than Kyle, Pierre, or me. So hey, that's where I'm at in my life. My congregation, they believe me, they follow me, they trust in me, and they know I've never told them anything wrong and I've never lied. What I've done in the past, I've done in the past, and we all have done something in the past. The thing about now is I got caught. He just hadn't got caught yet. So hey, but my story, if you read the book, it will explain in detail. And if you got an ounce of love of God or truth in you, what's in my book won't let you go against the truth. It'll reach out and grab you. I promise you that.
Did you have a follow-up question, caller?
No, that's all. Thank you.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in. We have another caller on the line. Caller, you
Good
have
evening,
a question
sir.
For Pastor Sane?
Got a comment. I'm very, very aware of teachers and educators promising you something in order to get you to go to the universities and so forth. Back in the day when I was going to university, in fact, I was promised a scholarship, music scholarship, to go to a full scholarship to go to a school. And the real reason that they were reaching out to us back then is because they needed minorities in
uh-huh.
the school in order to keep getting their funding. They needed to reach out to minorities because they needed to integrate, basically. So they promised me the scholarship, but they didn't deliver on it. So I'm aware of that. The other thing is, my nephew, just a few years ago, a couple of years or so ago, he was promised a full scholarship to go to school. And the young man got to school. He did not have a place to stay. He was living in his car. And he was afraid to call home and tell his mother that all the big plans and things and that all the stuff people had promised him and he was bragging about and this, that, and the other, that they didn't deliver on that. He was too ashamed to come out and tell the truth. She just told me this story on Sunday, Sunday evening, in fact. She just told me that story about him. He was living in his car, no place to live, no place to sleep. And all of these, the teachers had promised him this and that and the other. They put him through a hazing, little hazing test. He had to shave his head and all of this to join the band, right? He'd go through all of this mess to get there. And then when he got there, they didn't even have a place. Not only did they not pay for schooling, like they said, they didn't even have a place for the young man to sleep. He was living in his car.
I can identify with that.
I'm aware they will definitely say what they need to say in order to forward their agenda. You know, so.
And I'm so glad God gave me someone else that can call in, that can identify with this, because so many folks think you're not telling the truth because of who it is. Calipari, this big, you know, this high-profile college coach, and, you know, some folks, no, Cal didn't do that. You know, he wouldn't do that. And I'm like, man, why would I pick a fight? This is like David picking a fight with Goliath. Why would I pick a fight with somebody like that if I'm lying? I mean, that's a hell of a fight to pick. I just assumed to pick one with the Pope. You know, so, hey,
any
it is what it is.
Was there a follow-up question or thoughts there?
No, I would like to read the book to learn about it, but what I had to say didn't come out of the book. I was just calling to listen in to the show because I said that I would call in this evening, and I just happened to call in. And when he said what he said, at the very moment I called in, I just heard a story on Sunday that was exactly the same. It had not to do with basketball necessarily, but with music. So what it is it the scenario, you can tail it to wherever you are. I'm sure people get those false promises all the time, you know, for somebody else's agenda. But the thing is the children are hurt in the middle. It's unfortunate that the nephew chose to look the other way and or to throw you under the bus. As if though
yes,
and that's
you what
alive.
He did. Yeah, that's what he did. And it hurts me, but, you know, hey, me being a pastor and, you know, even my family member, my mom died about a year and a half ago, and she told him on her deathbed, she said, don't you go against your uncle for Calipari or nobody. You family, y'all stick together. She said, Calipari did you like a dog, mistreated you. You was a high-profile player coming out of college, you know, on your way to the NBA, and he got you there, didn't play you, and mistreated you. Now he wants to help you just so he can keep your uncle quiet, you know. But like I said, I wrote my book anyway, so it don't matter. And even to this day, he helped my nephew about four months ago get into the developmental league. And we know that's how he got in the D league. Well, how come you couldn't have helped him at first or did write him by him at first? You only helping him now thinking I'm not going to come out with my book, you know. And but I still, the Lord still able me to come out with it. It's out, you know. And so that's where we at. My nephew still, you know, he on Facebook talking about me. And I know they got him doing it, but, hey, he'll come to his senses. I'm almost 50, so he's just a baby under me, so he don't understand. But that's what Calipari and them understand. They know I can reach the young men that's weak, but it can't get to the older ones that's got a little sense, you know.
Well, it'll hurt him more than anybody who looks up to him, because if you can't stand on the principles of what's right, true, and just no matter what in the face of whatever opposition, then if you don't stand for something, you're going to fall for everything. And this is just setting a pattern or precedence for him to fold and cave in and give in to untruths and so forth to forward his own agenda. he's no better or no different than Calipari then in that regard.
Right. That's right.
Yeah, I know it's your nephew, but it is what it is.
Truth is the truth, man. I had a guy that went on his Facebook, and he was talking about me last week, and some family member got on him and told him, you know your uncle telling the truth about that book. What you mean you can't believe he came out with this book? You going to let them tell you to talk about your uncle? And some guy came on his Facebook and told him, look, I bought that book and I read it. I believe everything your uncle is saying about himself, everything he's saying about you and Calipari, and you ought to be ashamed of yourself for going against your own uncle. He said, your uncle kept it real, and now it's time for you to keep it real. So like I said, the book, if you read it, it'll reach out and grab it. You know, it's full of detail. It's all truth. So, you know, like I said, I've done what I had to do, you know.
That's a good time to tell us, Pastor Sain, how do we get your book? The title, I believe, is Flagrant Fouls.
Yes, sir. Flagrant Fouls. You can go on the lulu.com or either getsuccesspublishing.com. And you can pull it up those two ways. 4 to 5 days is all. I think it's 4 to 5 days today. It's supposed to go on Amazon and Barnes and Noble. But if it's not there yet, you definitely can go to lulu.com or either getsuccesspublishing.com. Lulu, LULU.com for those that don't have the correct spelling on it or didn't know the correct spelling. It's lulu.com. Or either getsuccesspublishing.com, and you can go on there and pull it up, and you'll see it. As you say, it's called Flagrant Fouls.
And what is it? What's the retail price?
The retail price is $22.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, caller. Were there any follow up there? All right. Was that all you had to ask or say? Okay, I think we got that on with the callers. Anybody else who would like to ask Pastor Sain a question or make a comment, call 347-838-9142. That's 347-838-9142. What kind of programs are you developing there, Pastor Sain, at Higher Heights for young people? I take it you're a little bit sports oriented.
Yes, sir. What we're doing now, we're trying to put together a youth program called Kids for Christ. And that's basically trying to get the young men and young women off the street and get them to get back in touch with their generation and come out of the streets to let them know that there is a better way. And what I'm trying to design is I don't want them to think that it's church as norm, because when they think it's church as norm, then they think that's just boring. So what we want to do, we want to create an atmosphere where they can come in and feel comfortable. We don't come in and dress down like church folks every Sunday. We may dress up one Sunday out of a month, and that's our first Sunday, which is Communion Sunday. But other than that, I'm telling them to come as you are. You know, hey, you come with your shorts, your T-shirts. It doesn't matter. And we're just trying to create something like that for them, an atmosphere where they can come in and learn, trying to get computers and all those kind of things going, and keep them just keep them working and doing something in the community. We have car wash every Saturday, you know, and just trying to build up so we can take them to different places and get them out the city, such as Nashville and Hot Springs. Just do something different than other than what they've been doing.
Mm-hmm. I believe that there are quite a few churches that are taking action nowadays. Maybe some of the impetus for it is some of the street violence and things that we've seen in the country. But I've had on this show Liddell, who is the founder of Heal the Hood, and I've come across him in at the Hickory Hill Mall and other places where he's put a lot of effort. This is a private foundation, nonprofit organization. Are you familiar with him?
No, sir. I've heard of the organization, but I didn't hear I don't know who run it or who organized it. So
yeah, it would really be beneficial if the churches and organizations who are trying to develop youth programs could connect up on some level with others that are doing it to
That's a fabulous ideal.
Yeah. Well, I'll make sure that you have contact numbers for a couple of people I can think of right now, and maybe that'll be helpful in the development of your program. Where do you see yourself going from here? I mean, you've written the book, and I don't know where you've developed a marketing and distribution program or not, but where do you see yourself going with it from this point?
Well, basically, the publishing company, Get Success Publishing, I'm letting them handle a lot of distribution and marketing, but I'm doing something myself. This summer, I'll be out at the AAU games, at some of the community colleges, some of the D1 colleges right here in the Mid-South area, you know, passing out flyers and information, pamphlet on the book, you know, just trying to do some more marketing strategy myself. Because, like I said, the book is not just, this is not a snitch book, it's an information pamphlet, you know, it's just to get information out to the parents and to people. And it's not, like I said, just about Calipari up here, but it's also about a lifestyle that I lived that wasn't pleasing to myself or to God. So it had biblical scriptures in there also that can help one. This book can reach those in prison. It can reach those just out in the world, in the street. It can reach just everyday church folks, you know. It definitely can reach the college kids and the college players and the athletes. It can also reach the movie stars as well as the rappers and the R&B singers. So, you know, it's a great book. So I'm just doing some more strategizing right now. I got two more books I'm working on right now. One, it's a sermon book I'm working on. That's finished. And then I got one I'm working on called What's Wrong with America, talking about the youth, and it's dealing with the P's, the police, the politician, the parents, things of that nature.
I think it's very interesting to me. I mean, you've got the story in the book of Acts of Paul's conversion, the Apostle Paul's conversion. Now, nobody else could see the light but him, but he has the conversion experience and goes to Damascus, and the street calls straight, and eventually someone comes to him. But I find these points of, as the Greek word metanoia, that change of mind, change of thinking. Repentance is actually it's translated as repentance, but the word is metanoia, which really means to change your way of thinking. And I find it very interesting to hear stories about how one changed the world. That's a major change of thinking. To be dealing in drugs and end up in prison, that's a major change of thinking to move toward the ministry.
Yes, sir. Well, like I said, sir, I owe it all to God, and hey, I'm not where I want to be or I need to be, but I'm a long way from where I used to be. I remember that I didn't know nothing but drugs. I never used it, but that was my means of living, you know, and it supported me and my family. But Lord, the God I serve, He changed me. He changed my way of thinking, and he did that. So now it was a revelation to me. My oldest son's 25, 26, and he didn't have to go through what I'm going through. Neither none of my other boys that's growing up now. So he changed me so they can be changed for the better, you know, and they wouldn't have to see what I was doing. So it helped all the way around. And now, like I said, it's been some years since I've touched drugs. Don't want any and don't want to be around nobody that's got any. And the thing about it is I tell them, crack can get you high for a minute. You know, hey, the money of it can get you high, but you also want the ultimate high, which is Jesus Christ. And that's what keeps me going day in and day out. And so I just thank him for just changing my life and turning me around, because change starts in the heart of man, and that's the way we think. Philippians 2 and 5 said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. So I'm not Christ, but I try to think along the lines of Christ and what would he do. And he didn't want me selling drugs. I got in my book, I think a cousin of mine told me one time, he said, look, it's not in the Bible where you can't sell drugs. So I said, he said, so I think we're cool. I think we're going to be all right. I said, no, it don't say that we can't sell drugs, but it do say obey the laws of the land. And that's one of the laws of the land. So I said, it ain't right and it ain't cool. And so it took him years to understand that. But to this day, you know, he's not preaching or anything, but he don't sell drugs anymore, and all because of that conversation. So, you know, we can change one life at a time. We're doing something, you know, because we never know who's watching us.
Now, we have you scheduled to be taped two shows on June the 12th for the Bookman Show, which is shown at 9:30 on Saturday evenings, Comcast Cable Network Channel 17. And those of you who do not have Comcast, we then take that show, those shows, and put them up on YouTube. So I'm inviting you to now to go to YouTube.com, type in Renford Broadcast Network. That's R-E-N-F-O-R-D, Broadcast Network. And then you can see I have two shows there, the Bookman shows that we tape here for the Memphis market and the Core Concepts lecture series. And the Core Concepts is where we interview religious and spiritual leaders with a basic format. What do you believe? Why do you believe it? What are you doing about it? How did you come to that belief? And as Dr. Phil would say, how's that working out for you? So that's the format for the Core Concepts. And if you go to YouTube.com, type in Renford Broadcast Network, you can pick up on any of these shows, various. You know, you can find out about almost any religion you want. We've had everything from Tibetan monks to Islamic teachers and Wiccans, virtually any kind of religion you can think of. But I think that you will find some on that show that you wouldn't even know to look for. So I want to invite you to go there, and maybe one of these days we'll have Pastor Sane on Core Concepts as well. But he will be on taped June the 12th, and so sometime in later in July that show will be aired, and you can get some more information about it. And if you've missed part of this show or you'd like to know more, then you can go to blogtalkradio.com/Renford. That's blog, B-L-O-G-T-A-L-K, blogtalkradio.com/Renford. And this show will be close to the top of the archives there, and you'll be able to pick that up. And if there's anybody you want to hear the show, you can tell them that's where to go to listen to a particular show and this interview of Pastor Stephen Sane. Pastor Sane, the programs that you're talking about with the church there, I think there'll be a number of other people who would like to make contact. What is your best contact numbers? Do you have an email address and phone number?
Yes, sir. I have an email address. It's pastorsane@gmail.com, all lowercase letter, pastorsane@gmail.com, Sane spelled S-A-I-N-E, pastorsane@gmail.com.
Okay, and then you have a number. You have an administrative assistant that people can call and get to order books or to talk to you, right?
Yes, sir. Miss Danielle Jones, her number program in the phone. Do you have that number she called you from?
I think it's 421-8115.
That's it.
Danielle Jones.
Uh-huh. She's,
421-8115. Okay, so if you'd like to ask or contact Pastor Sain, then you can do so at that number or at Pastor Sain, S-A-I-N-E, @gmail.com.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to take this time, since we're talking about these things, to invite you. You know about the YouTube. Go to YouTube.com and type in Renford Broadcast Network, and you know about blogtalkradio.com/Renford. But if you haven't been there, you are invited to go to www.iam-cor.org. That's iam-cor.org. This is the virtual campus of the Institute of Applied Metaphysics, and you can see the 3 degree levels of study, how one might utilize this these 3 degree levels. You can get download free ebooks there. You can read the core document, which is the story of the Church of Revelation. You can download free the ebook, The Searcher's Roadmap, and also the book Unity Principles, these are all 3 ebooks. You can also download the Lightways e-zine, which is an electronic magazine, which have articles and so forth in it. And there's kind of a prototype there. We're developing that e-zine as we speak. You can also look at the courses and the 3 degrees, 3 levels of study, the courses, the texts that are used. You can find out about the history of the Institute. And, of course, there's a bookstore there where you can get my books, the Renford books, and as well as some of the others that we have published with IM Press. IM Press is our commercial enterprise, and it's incorporated. It is an organization that works with first-time authors. In fact, we use Lulu and some of the ones that Reverend Sain, our Pastor Sain, mentioned. We work through the process of educating and putting the authors in the position of making informed decisions. We do the production of the book, and then we go into marketing. 77 ways that a book can be marketed at this point, and we work with the authors to develop their programs, because most people in the business just don't help you much when it comes to marketing. So give us a call at 901-358-2226. Or email me, iamrenford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D, @gmail.com, if you'd like information. Or if you just want to know more about our organization, you can just simply Google James Renford Powell, J-A-M-E-S, Renford, R-E-N-F-O-R-D, Powell, P-O-W-E-L-L, and you'll be able to pick up on the shows, the articles, the books, and all the rest of it from that point. We have a fairly substantial presence on the internet. Now, let's get back to Pastor Sain. We've got a little more than a little less than 15 minutes or so. Do you have something, a message that you would like to deliver to our listeners?
Well, first of all, let me thank you for allowing me to be on the show. Let's get that out there. First, I really appreciate it deeply, you extending the opportunity for me to be on the show and to reach out to your listeners, those who you have the pleasure of reaching out to on a daily basis. So, first of all, let me say thank you for that. And I certainly don't take it lightly for what you're doing. I just thank God for the opportunity and the privilege to be able to talk tonight. Second of all, I just want to say to your listeners as well, just continue to do the best you can, and don't let anyone tell you you can't do what you've been born to do, or you know to do, or especially that which is right in the eyesight of God. Because as I tell my congregation Sunday in and Sunday out, only what we do for Christ will last. Everything else is going to fail. And when you're doing something for the right reason, God will stand behind. As long as your motives are good. And I just want to let you know that you just keep on pushing the upper way, even when it looks dark and it don't look good. I tell my congregation Sunday in and Sunday out that, man, extremity is God's opportunity to step in and do something mighty in our lives. They said I wouldn't be here. That was 20 years ago. I was supposed to be dead and gone or in prison still or in the graveyard. But not only am I here, but he called me to do a marvelous work. So I don't take it lightly what he's called me to do, and I don't play with lives because I know that lives matter with God. So if I tell my congregation or just people on the street, if I tell you I'm going to try to do something, I try to do it. Even if I don't always have the resources to do it, I try to make sure I do it because God is always watching. And remember, it ain't about how folks treat you that matter, but God is looking at how you treat folks. You just treat folks with the best with the best that you have in you. Give folks your best. Even when it don't feel right and don't seem right, it is right. And I promise you, God will give the increase. You just keep planting those seeds, those good seeds. Keep sowing good seeds. And I promise you, one day they'll sprout up, and God will let somebody see your good work, and he will reward you. So just keep doing the best you can.
Well, Pastor Saint, we have on Blog Talk Radio claims a listener base of about 5 million. That doesn't mean there's 5 million listening tonight, but in total. And then this show goes to Dream Vision 7 Radio, which is the director is Deborah Beauvais in Boston, near Boston, Massachusetts. And she has a listener base in 138 countries, so this show goes out to those listeners and as well as to the Blog Talk audience. But most of the people, I think, may have a hard time relating to the Bible Belt. A lot of these listeners, first of all, these are in countries where Christianity might be rather in the minority. And and they're even if you go north in the United States in different places, you don't have the concentration of churches. I mean, in Memphis, Tennessee, we're here in the Mid-South, and jostling on every street corner are service stations, Walgreens, and churches.
That's right.
and we really have a lot of churches, yet we haven't in the past, I don't know what it is this year, but we have been very, very high on the murder capital list and on the crime list. What in your view is how could there be such a concentration of Bible believers and churches and still have such a concentration of crime?
Well, my answer to that is, and I'm asked that on a regular basis, the problem is, for one, you know, the Bible stated that these things was going to go on and that in the last days the love of many will wax cold. There are a lot of churches in Memphis and on the other corner, and crime is very high, and you wonder how can it be when you got churches on every corner. Well, the problem is what you're seeing, what you used to see in big cities is going on here in Memphis, Tennessee now, and in the rural areas, Mississippi and Clarksdale. It's just that we're in the last days and scripture is fulfilling itself. It has nothing to do with the church, with what the church is or ain't doing. It's just that, hey, you know, Bible just fulfilling itself. I mean, you got crime on every street corner in America. And hey, that's just the way it is because parents are not raising their children anymore, and they want to put the problem on the school and on the churches. But really, that's not what starts. You know yourself, listening to you talk, that hey, scripture says you train up a child. That's what Proverbs said, train them up at home. But as I stated earlier, I'm writing a book and working on a book now, What's Wrong in America. You remember a few weeks ago, they had the Baltimore riot, and they had a mother who they gave mother of the year. Now, I have no problem with that mother.
I saw that.
You saw that?
I saw that. Well, I saw that piece of film, yeah.
Well, I had no problem with her whooping her son, and I congratulate her, and I think what she did should be done. But the only problem I had with that whole thing was they relished in the fact that she whooped her son on TV. They pat her on the back. They clapped her hand. They gave her Mother of the Year. They put on every talk show it was. But my problem is that there was a double standard there, because if under any other circumstance, if she had whipped her child, put her hands on him, they would have said it was child abuse. But I just don't like the fact that, hey, now there's a double standard. But where we at, because we should have all been working together as parents and as leaders and as adults in this country and in this city and abroad to make sure that our children don't be what they are today. And they're only what they are today because they took prayer out of school, and then they took the power out of the parents' hand and told, if you whip your child, then that's child abuse. So that's the reason where we at. You know, everybody can point the finger, we can blame one another. And then on the other hand, you got parents want to be friends with their kids and smoke weed and drink and go out and party, when, hey, that's a big no-no. You can't be their friend and lead them too. And I tell my congregation that, hey, I can't be your pastor and your friend. You know, if I'm going to be your pastor, I'm going to be your pastor. I can't be your friend. I can't sit around the table, the yes table with you, no. And so, and that's the reason where we at.
Well, I'm hopeful that you'll be meeting with some of the others that we've had on the show. We would like to be this is a community outreach program. Obviously, I get in my advertising points with regard to, but I haven't talked about really any of my books except the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. I do advertise the TV, the radio, and so forth. But basically, this is getting out, and the blog, it gets out my little message there for 4 or 5 minutes. But basically, these shows are designed for the guests to get out their message and get out their story. And we've had a series of guests, such as Reverend Eric Donaldson of Unity Christian Church, the young man I mentioned, Liddell, with the Heal the Hood, and other young man, Frederick Williams, who wrote his book in prison. We would like to give voice to this. We've had Patricia Lee on the show. We've had other people who have their own shows, like Dr. Isaac, and we'd like to do what we can to help get things galvanized a bit, so that there's some real strong action all across the board. And I appreciate you being on the show with us tonight, Pastor Sain, and telling your story. Be sure and go to lulu.com and look for Pastor Sain's book, Flagrant Fouls, or you can contact him yourself, PastorSain@gmail.com. Thank you very much, Pastor Sain, for being with us, and everyone else, join me next week for our next edition of the Laws of Material Wealth Personal Development Program. Have a good evening, everyone.
Thank you, sir.